Everyone said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good to see you here this morning. It's so good to see God show up and pour out His Spirit. Isn't it a great day to sit before the throne of God? I don't. Every day is a great day to sit before the Lord. Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you about a story in the Bible. All of you have heard it before, I'm sure. It's about Joseph. And if you'll just prepare yourself to hear what the Lord has to say to us today in the process of this story. I want to talk to you about problems or answers. Problems or answers. Do we have problems in our life? I may have a few problems. Just go ahead and say amen. If you don't, you're lying and the truth ain't in you. I'm sorry. If you got some problems, just realize that, you know what? God's got the answer for them. If you look in your Bibles this morning, Proverbs chapter 12 and 25 says this. Listen, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. But a good word, say good word, makes it glad. How many of you are ready to get your heart and make it glad? God's doing a work in your heart today. Say amen. Amen. Problems bring us down. No matter where we are, things in life, problems will bring us down. Have you ever been brought low a few times in your life? Sometimes they're overwhelming. Sometimes we experience life and it's not exactly what we expected. How many of you have been disappointed sometimes in your life and you just went, that's not what I was expecting? Come on, let's see. Did it happen to you? Have you been in that place where you just was like, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be? Well, I'm here to tell you the answer is Jesus. And when you rely on Him and when we look to Him, He will lift up our countenance. He will lift up our expectation when we put it on the Lord instead of on people and man. Amen. And we won't be disappointed because Jesus is the answer. And He will lift you up. Have you ever been lifted up by Jesus? Have you ever been lifted up by Jesus? Have we ever been lifted up by Jesus? That's your cue. Thank you. Have you been lifted up? We're going to get their attention back there, that sound booth here in a minute. But the answer, Jesus has lifted us up. Watch what Proverbs chapter 17 says. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Amen. And a broken spirit dries up our bones. Many of us have had problems with people. Uh-oh. Many of us have had problems with people. Uh-oh. Many of us, I should say, probably say all of us have had problems with, that's not where it goes. Many of us have had problems with people. But I'm here to tell you that God is doing a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. Hey, we got to learn how to get along with people. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we got to learn that Jesus is doing a work in them as well as us. Amen. Do you know He's doing a work inside of you? Luke chapter 6 and verse 33 says this. And if you do good to those who do good, what credit is that to you? If we're doing good things to good people, and we're like, well, look what I did. Well, what credit is that? Jesus said that. This is in red in your Bible. Jesus is saying, well, if you're doing good things to good people, even the sinners do that. It's like, but He's looking for us to step up and beyond what the norm is and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and reach out past, say past, our boundaries. Past what we say, I'm not going there. I don't like those people. I'm not going to talk to them because, you know. Well, I'm here to tell you, watch this. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and many members, individuals, and God has appointed these in the church. Now, you know, He goes into the list of the apostle, prophet, pastor, and the pastor, teacher. But I'm not here to talk about that. I want to back up to this part in the scripture right here. Listen carefully. Now you, say me. You are the body of Christ. You're the members, individual, and God has appointed you. Do you realize that God has called you, that He's appointed you in the church as well as the pastor and the prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher? Did I say pastor twice? Sorry. Anyway, the idea is that we got to get past this thing of like, I don't have that calling. How many of you know, did you get saved? Anybody here not get saved yet? If you're not, we'll take care of that right now. Uh-oh. Anyway, if you're saved, then you have been called up. You're the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, the holy nation. You're called. God has called you up out of the stuff, up out of the ordinary. I don't want to be just like everybody else. We got to get past this mundane, oh-hum lifestyle and realize that you're a chosen. God chose you for this day, for this age, as he told Esther, for such a time as this he's called you. Say me. Watch what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gift. Watch this. Earnestly means sincere, intensely, and seriously. Earnestly desire the best gift. And when we go into, you know, you hear people go, well, I speak in tongues and I prophesy and I can do this at the church and I do that and I can do the other. And I'm here to tell you that all that's all good and it's necessary. But don't forget the best gift. Say the best gift is love. Get past all of that stuff. Get past all of the bragging. Get past all of your braggadocious attitude and get to the realization of we got to learn how to love. Say love one another. The two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. We got to get past all of this. I don't like them people because Jesus loves them. What? Yes, he does. He loves them. Get past it. Realize that we have to earnestly desire the best gift. Get past love. If you don't know what love is, go find your Bible, sit down and read 1 Corinthians 13 and just meditate on that. Ponder on that a little while and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your hearts. How many of you know God can speak to your heart? When we ask and when we seek and when we knock, he'll answer us. But sometimes we don't want to spend time in the presence of the Most High God because sometimes we get a little worried about what he might tell us or what we might hear. Let's take a look at this journey of Joseph's life. Most of us know the story. Oh, Daddy loved Joseph a little more than he did the brothers. How many of you know the story? Anybody read the story? If you haven't, go back and read that because we're going to spend a whole lot of time on the story this morning because I want to talk to you about the principles. The reality of Joseph's life. Let's take this look. And see, Joseph's daddy loved him a little bit more than his brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but has God ever spoke to your heart? Have you ever really just sat down and had a sincere, opened up heart to heart with God? And all of a sudden he installed and imparted a dream into your heart and a vision and a purpose for your life. If you never had that, I'm going to tell you sincerely, again, go back and ask and seek and knock. Because when you ask, seek and knock, God will impart and invest into you a dream, a vision, a purpose in life. And David and Joseph, I don't know why I keep going back to David, but Joseph had a dream. And of course, he was over enthusiastic about his dream. And I may have, you know, his brothers had a little bit of a problem with that. His brothers said, you know what, there's that dreamer. Joseph's got this problem. And his brothers actually ended up building up a resentment that ended up causing a lot of problems. Say problems. Have you ever had some people in your life that caused problems for you? Well, Joseph had a few. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes we have to realize that we have a responsibility as well as the people that have the problem. We have a responsibility to not push their buttons. How many of you know that we can push some people's buttons? Not you, right? You know, I'm just messing. We all have buttons that we can allow ourselves to get pressed. We allow things to press. You know, I have to say this. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. I'm a Facebook type of guy. Duh. And I love posting stuff, but sometimes I'm reading through stuff and I'm like, what the heck is this? Why would somebody post this stuff for the world to see? But that's not the point. I'm getting to this one point where they showed you this woman lost it. I mean, she went berserk and had a, I'll just call it like this. You probably heard this term before, a hissy fit. You ever heard that one? She had this hissy fit. She went off, and I think it was something to do with exercising and with that, what's that stuff where you hold the poses? Yoga. Yeah, that's it. Yoga. She was in some kind of yoga class, and she went off, and she about killed this guy. She's running around. She lost it. She lost it. Somebody pushed her button. And sometimes in our life, people push our buttons. And I know that nobody ever wants to admit that your button's been pressed and you've lost it. But I think Joseph's brothers lost it because they started doing things that just, they didn't stop. They didn't stop and think about what they were fixing to do. They didn't stop and think
And this is one thing that's important to me in my life is stop, look at a situation and examine myself first. Examine myself and say, am I at fault here? Am I doing wrong? Because I may even know we can make a mistake. We can make a few mistakes in life. And sometimes we got to stop and examine ourselves and say, am I doing something wrong here? And of course, most of us say, of course, it's not me. But we just move on and we want to push that aside. But I'm here to tell you, not only is it important for us to examine ourselves, but also this is one thing I love to do. Examine our relationship with Jesus. Because I've used this term around here quite a few times. When our relationship here is correct, these relationships here work. Because we put it on the cross. When we get our relationship with the Lord right, say right, then our relationship with other people become easier because we realize that they are a child of God. Well, they should be. Also, and if they're not, maybe God wants to use you to introduce them to Jesus. Could you imagine that? When we get past our frustration, when we get past our delusion of discomfort or not liking somebody because of a personality trait or something that they do that irritates us. Does somebody ever do something that just irritates the tar out of you? Don't look at your wife like that. I'm just teasing. Sometimes people can do things to irritate us. And we don't stop and examine our own relationship. We don't stop and examine our relationship with the Lord, but we just react instead of waiting. Say wait. Wait on the Lord. Examine ourselves and check it out and see what God wants to do. Because how many of you know God's building inside of you something? Say amen. We need to examine our relationships. We need to listen because sometimes, just every now and then, Lewis, just every now and then, not all the time, but sometimes we're wrong. No way. Sometimes we make a few mistakes, Zach. Sometimes we make a few mistakes. Put your name in the blank. Romans chapter 12 and 14 says this. Bless those who persecute you. What? Wait a minute, Jesus. Do you realize I don't like these people? Bless them. Bless those who persecute you. That means your neighbor or the person that's frustrating you and irritating you and getting you frustrated with things about life, you need to take them out to dinner and buy them lunch. What? Ain't no way. Yeah, well, you can do what you want. But bless those who curse you. Watch this. The 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. How many of you know David's brothers were not rejoicing in David's exciting about his dream? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not, watch this, do not set your mind on higher things. Well, if they would just stop that stuff, if they would get better, if they would read their Bible, maybe they would repent and then they would be able to treat me right. And then we can do not be wise. Watch this. Do not be wise where? In your own opinion. Isn't it amazing how many of us have got difference of opinions? Well, we just get away from that. Evaluate our situation. We need to evaluate where we are in life. Joseph's brothers did not rejoice with him. Matter of fact, they was a little bit jealous, do you think? They was a little bit jealous. And Joseph did not stop and evaluate the way he should have responded. I think he was. How many of y'all are the last person in your family? Like you're the child, you're the baby. Anybody here? Most of us. I'm the last in mine. Most of us are spoiled. We kind of got away with more than the other kids because the older kids wore out the parents, you know. But the last one, anyway, Joseph was getting close to that. Anyway. But anyway, you know, sometimes we just kind of like, you know, we want to be recognized better than our brothers and sisters there. Anyway, let's get off of that. Joseph had to deal with some situations and he didn't have his brothers rejoicing with him. Let's look at this story where his brothers decided to get rid of Joseph. How many of you know? Aren't you glad you don't have a family like that? Some of us might have that opportunity. Genesis chapter 37 and 19. And then they said unto one another, this is his brother speaking, and they're talking about Joseph. And they said, look at this dreamer coming. Here comes that dreamer. Have you ever seen somebody in Walmart? You went, here comes that holy roller. Let me get away from him. He's going to want to talk to me about Jesus for 20 minutes. And we duck and go underneath the cabinet and... Well, why you laugh so hard, Tommy? And Tommy works at Lowe's. He says, I'm ducking everybody. You gotta realize that sometimes we can't get rid of our problem. We don't need to get rid of our problem. We need to learn how to, say, deal with it. We need to make sure that our life is examined and we're right. Watch what it says, Genesis 37:19. Then they said to one another, look, that dreamer's coming. Come, therefore, and let us now kill him. What? Really? I mean, I know I have brothers and sisters, and I know a few times I really did want to just strangle them, you know. Especially when she called me up and said, let's move again. I was like, oh, no. No, but it was never really a real, sincere wanting to kill him. But these guys had it where they were just, they lost it. They were going off. They were ready to really kill him. And they cast him into a pit, and they say, we'll just tell Dad and the family and the rest of everybody. Well, some wild beast devoured him, and we'll see what will become of this dream that he had. Well, what? Wow. We should watch this. We should never, say never. We should never allow negative influences to control us. How many of you know that, you know, sometimes, I mean, one of the brothers said, hey, well, let's not kill him, you know, let's just sell him. Sometimes we can realize that negative influences can draw us away from what God wants to do in our life. Say, stay away from negative influences. Don't allow them to guide you in the wrong direction. Watch this. Genesis 37:28. Then the Mennonites traders passed by. So the brothers pulled up Joseph, lifted him up out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, Joseph didn't get... Now, they did not get rid of their problem. How many of you know they really didn't get rid of the problem? What they actually did was multiply it and compound it and then went home and had to tell lies to Dad and lies to the family. And then they were trying to say, well, Dad, you know, some beast must have got him. Look at his coat. It's all full of blood. And they lied. And then before you know it, Dad's... I mean, could you imagine your father, your parents having such a emotional drain? I don't know if you've ever had a sibling pass away on you, but my oldest sister had her daughter pass away, and it was such an emotional drain. It changed her life. It really did. How many of you ever had an emotional change in your life where things drain you? I'm here to tell you, you know, that's some of the problems we have in life, but we can stay away from that. We can realize that Jesus is the answer, and he can bring us back in line with the right things. Don't allow the negative influence to change your directions. Joseph did. They did not get rid of their problem. As a matter of fact, they compounded it. It just got worse. Later in the story, of course, we see Joseph saying these things. But as for you, meant this for evil. You meant this for evil. But God, say, but God. I hate to say this because a lot of people take this wrong, but I just really like some of the buts in the Bible. But God means it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people. See, God brings you through situations so that you learn. Say, learn. We learn from it, and then we realize that, you know what, we get more mature, we develop a relationship with God, and then we start telling other people, well, you know, I've been there, I actually had that problem, and that, let me tell you what God did for me. And then you start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you watch, because the Bible says the word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was set out to do. And too many of us don't use the word of God. We use our opinions, and we get distracted, and we want to tell people all about what we think. How many of you know, I hate to say this, but you know, sometimes I want to tell people, I don't really care what you think. What? I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just telling you, sometimes people's got some things that are wild and crazy, and man, where are you coming from with that? Have you ever heard a few things that when they left, you went, what the heck were they talking about? Have you ever been in a situation where God has brought you into that environment with the word, and you got to deliver the word. Earlier we read the proverb where it said, a good word, say good word, makes a heart glad. When we start beating people up with the Bible instead of bringing them the goodness of Christ, oh my, we just need to examine what is our motive here, to prove them that I'm smarter than you and look what I know and look how much I know about the Bible? Or are we truly wanting to reach out past all of our prejudices and reach into their life and save them from a situation that they're going through? Oh, my goodness. Because if we truly have that heart, how many of you know, we'll have compassion. Because when Jesus showed up on a crowd, this is what it always says. He had compassion on the crowd. How many of you know, we got to get some compassion in our lives so that we don't compound the problem, but that we'll have the answer for the problem. And the answer, of course, is Jesus. That he might save. You meant this for bad, but God brought it around for good, as it is this day. Say this day. To save many people. Watch this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt and Potiphar, and he's the officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard in Egypt. And they brought and he bought him. And the Ishmaelites who'd taken him down there, Joseph learned. Joseph learned how to keep his dream alive in the midst of all of the problems. How many of you got some problems? Raise your hand high because I got to pray for you. Father, right now, you see the folks that have problems. The rest of us are lying, but that's okay, Lord. We're going to repent for having a lying spirit. But, Lord, we just have, Lord, these problems that we need you to deal with, Lord. We need you to give us wisdom. We need you to give us guidance and see, Lord, that you, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us your wisdom, Lord. Give us your power. Lord, give us your understanding in Jesus' name. And everyone that has a problem, say amen. Amen. Oh, okay. Now, Joseph was taken down to Egypt and Potiphar bought him. And then this is where Joseph learned how to serve and really truly how to get past his problems and really feel like, guess what? No matter where we are in life, we got to be wholeheartedly invested into what we're doing for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Too many of us are half-hearted or half-cocked. We're going through life and we just not really truly committed. We live in a society today that just don't even comprehend the understanding of the word commitment. Say commitment. It's getting past that the petty things that it's not going your way. We get caught up in, I want it my way. If I can't have it my way, I'll go down the street. I'll divorce you. I'll say, I don't like you. You can't be. You know what that sounds like? You remember when we were kids? You know what you'd say? If you want to be my friend, you'll give me some of that candy. And it's like, that didn't work. Well, sometimes it did. Because some people are like, I want to be your friend. And too many of us are worried about being friends and not realizing that the idea is his total commitment. Jesus committed. He committed to us. He's poured out his spirit. He died so that we might have life and have it more abundant. Could we not watch with him 1 hour? Could we not go past the surface relationship and get to a deeper place? How many of you want to go deeper? Say amen. I want to go a little deeper. God, sir, we got to get to a place of understanding that Jesus is our answer. The answer, the Lord. Say the Lord. He lifted up Joseph. Watch this in 39 chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and he had success. He was a successful man and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptians and his master saw. How many of you know when you're doing what's right, people see it? How many of you know when you're doing what's wrong, people see it too? They watch and waiting. But anyway, the master saw that Joseph was doing a good thing. Where am I? There we go. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor. Say favor. You know what? That's where we got to draw. We got a desire to have favor with, first of all, the Lord, but then also with man. He wants us to have favor. He wants us to start treating people with the proper respect and treating people like Jesus did, like reach past our boundaries. And Joseph found favor in the sight and he served him. What? And he made him the overseer of the house and that all he had he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer of the house that all that he had, the Lord blessed. You see, when you're truly reaching out and going after God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you get the blessings. Say blessings. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. He blessed the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. And he blessed the Lord. And the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had. And in the house and in the field. Joseph learned how to keep his dream alive in the midst of all of these situations. He was threatened to get killed. He got thrown in a pit. He got pulled out. He got sold. He got bought. And he's in Potiphar's house. And no matter what he's going through. No matter what we're going through in the natural, God wants to pull you up out of that stuff. He wants to take you up out of that pit. He wants to put your feet firmly on your Savior, Jesus Christ, and realize that you got a sure, say sure, foundation. Joseph kept his dream alive no matter what the circumstances. He decided that no matter where I am and what I'm going through, I'm going to make the best of it. No matter where I am and what I'm going through, how many of you got some situations? No matter what you're going through, you might as well make the best of it, because you know what? It doesn't do any good just to compound it and, woe is me. Oh, I just don't have any luck. I hate to hear that. That just bothers me. I just don't have any luck. That old Zach, he's got all the luck in the world. He's got everything he wants. He's got this, that, and the other. Oh, I just don't have any luck. Come on, get off of that. Get away from that. Come on, that's right. Do you realize, I just have to ask you this. Do you realize how blessed you are? Do you realize that we are a blessed people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation? I know some of us are peculiar, but that's okay. We can make it through together. I'm relying on you to help. Where I fall short, I need somebody to help me lift it up. I need help. How many of you need help? The Bible says we need each other. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. We have need of each other. Well, I don't have need nobody. I've been doing this alone all my life. I'm just okay. I'm good. I just want you to be encouraged this morning and realize that God has brought you and let you be a part of the body. Say body. Of Christ. You are the church. We are the church. And we're to live like it. Have we realized that no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, problems always, say always, pop up. And they usually pop up at the worst time. Amen? I mean, do you know that sometimes you can be in the middle of having a great time and boom, there's a problem. You're like, oh man, why did that happen? Have you ever had a few problems pop up? Well, God wants you to know that He's your answer. But it's important that not only that you have the problem, because it's important that we have problems because it makes us stronger. We learn how to overcome. Say overcome. I love the scriptures where talking to all the churches. Where's Becky? She's in the back. And it talks about overcoming to Him who overcomes. Oh, my goodness. How many of you know it's time for us to learn how to be overcomers? Overcomers. Problems are going to pop up, but I'm here to tell you, how are we handling the problem? What are we doing in the midst of the problem? Are we letting other people see our example? Are we falling apart? I just can't believe it happened to me. I can't believe it. Are we truly trusting in God? Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I've never cried, wept, and said, woe is me. But it's important for us to rise up. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Have you risen up? Have you realized that you serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? No matter where you are in your life, in your problems, there's the people that's got it worse off than you do. Aren't you glad that God is doing a mighty work in you? Say amen. Oh, what a thank you, Jesus. And we have to seek the answer, which is Jesus. We need to seek Him out. We need to find out where we've fallen short. Watch, here it comes now. Joseph, this is in verse 6, 39 verse 6. And now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. How many of you know he's got some problems? Anybody read the story? Joseph was a good looking guy. And Potiphar's wife? She wanted him. I mean, she really did. She wanted him. Watch what it says. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast longing eyes for Joseph. She was checking him out from top to bottom. Joseph's eye, and she said, I want you to lie with me. How many of you know? Don't go there. Problems come, but I'm here to tell you, what are you going to do in the midst of the situation? How are you going to handle it? Are you going to walk away and realize that God is calling and testing and bringing you through? Stay through. Trials and tribulations. Problems come, but what are we going to do about it? What did Joseph do about it? Well, he just ran away and then he ends up in trouble. How many of you have ever been falsely accused of something? You don't have to raise your hand, especially if your wife's next to you. But the idea is that you don't want to get falsely accused. People will lie on you. Have you ever had anybody lie on you? And they will tell you something. And Potiphar's wife, of course, lied on him. Lied on Joseph. Excuse me just a minute. Potiphar's wife lied on him, and Joseph just was like, oh man, that's not what happened. And of course, you can't convince, sometimes people, especially a husband and wife situation. And anyway, how many of you know it's not fair? Can you say it's not fair? I mean, let me just hear the ones that truly have been in a situation where you know it was just not fair. Can you say it's not fair? I was hoping you'd bite into that. Because this is what I got to tell you. Watch this. I tell this to my grandson all the time. I know it might sound terrible, but I have to tell you the truth. And I tell him, life is not fair. In case you didn't know that, life is not fair. It's a good thing it's not, because I'm having, we'd be in serious trouble if we were getting what we deserved. Let's just move on, because I just heard a lot of people. And then we got to seek out the answer. Life is not fair. You don't have to worry about being fair, but God is just. Amen. And we will reap what we sow. Say we sow. You see, because when we learn to sow good seed, we're going to reap a good harvest. But if we start falling into the trap like Joseph's brothers did and sow bad seed, how many of you know you're going to reap some bad harvest? Literally, they did reap a bad harvest. But I'm here to tell you, God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, He is the answer. Watch this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says it like this. And we know that all things, say all things, work together. Oh, you don't like this scripture. All things work together for good for those who love God. Do we love God? Well, yeah, I love God. Okay. To those who are called according to His purpose. We discussed earlier about we're called. If you gave your life to Christ, you're called. Now, you may not be called to do the same thing. Where's Murray at? He must be in the back, too. You might not. Bob, you're on the front. I'm going to pick on you. Okay, Bob? You may not be called to do the same thing Bob's doing, but guess what? You're called to reach out past your own comfort zone and realize that God's got a purpose and a direction for your life. Watch this. We know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, to those who called according to His purpose, for those who He foreknew, He also predestined, to be conformed. Say conformed. That means God's working. He's doing something. He's pulling. Have you ever had some things pulled apart in your life? Have you ever had some things that you've been, wow, I wanted to do this, and God just pulled it apart and said, no, wait a minute, I'm doing something else. You're heading this way, and I've got another plan for you. And then you're saying, wait a minute, God, I don't want to do that. And He says, that's okay. You're gonna turn. I'm doing something. I'm working on you. I'm pulling off. I'm conforming you. Watch this, to the image of His Son. What? We call ourselves Christians. I'm a Christian. Well, guess what's going to be ripped off of you? Everything that's not Christ-like. Everything that's not Christ-like is going to be ripping away from you the rest of your life, because you want to. How many of you want to be like Jesus? You want to be a Christian. So if you want to be and you desire to be that, guess what's going to be ripped off of you? Oh, my goodness. Everything that is not. You're going to be like an onion being peeled. And every time you go, you're going to go, ouch! Some of us are little ninny babies. Some of us, like, every time I breathe, ow!
Lord God, I can't believe you're making me suffer this way. Why? Why are you doing it to me, God? I go to church 3 times a year. Every time I go, I give a dollar. Golly, God. We can get caught up in all of that stuff. My goodness, life ain't fair. It's not going to be fair because you got a whole lot more than we ever deserved. Glory to God. Amen. He's conforming us to the image of His Son that we might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, who He predestined, these He also did what? Call. Do you know He called you? Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. Called, justified, and glorified. Called, justified, and glorified. He called you, He justified you, and He's glorifying you. Each and every day, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, God's ripping off some stuff that ain't like Him. Do you know sometimes we don't like it? Do you know somewhere along the process we don't like it? We don't. There's a lot of people that it's amazing. The Christian life is a changing and an evolving life. And that's what it's about, changing. And there's a lot of people that don't like. There's a whole lot of people that just don't like. There's a whole bunch of people in this room that don't like. Yeah, we don't want to change. We just like that same old, if I just get up out my same old bed and go to that same old job and go to that same old this and same old. Oh, my goodness. I love that sermon. I heard it like 20 years ago. Excuse me. Tony Evans preached that at a pastor's conference in Atlanta. Same old, same old. You want something different? Change it. Say change it. Oh, we got to change it. We got to seek after God. We got to know that we're called, justified, and glorified. The process. Say the process. If we stay on target, I'm here to talk to you this morning. Are you listening? If we stay, say if. If we stay on target, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. God's in control. He's got a plan. He is transforming you. He's conforming you into the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we are all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. How many of you know God's working on me? Say me. Do you know He's working on you? Do you know He's pulling some things in our life? I'm here to tell you that his wife lied on him. Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph, and he ended up going to jail. And I just have to say this because I wrote it down and I wanted to say it a long time ago. Gomer Pyle said it like this: "Not true, not true, not true." And half of y'all in this room are going, "Who? Gomer Pyle? Who the heck is that?" Okay, you got to watch, what is that, MeTV now. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, in the place of the king's prison, and he was confined, and there he was set up. And I mean, how many of you have been set up in life and you found out you're locked up? You wished you wasn't where you are. And God's doing some work inside of you, and then He gives somebody else a dream, and then you got to try to go in there and try to figure out what's going on, because this is what happened. Potiphar, I'm going to have to speed up because I'm running out of time. Pharaoh had a dream, and somebody in the jail knew that Joseph, I'm getting my names mixed up, Joseph had the interpretation, so he told the baker and the potter. What? Who? The cupbearer. Yeah, the cupbearer and the baker. Somebody. And anyway, go read the story. They said, hey, guess what? You know, this guy in jail, he knew how to interpret dreams. Now, let me go. Okay, so they called him. I like this part in the Bible. I don't know why. You know, some things just kind of like you like. They said that they took Joseph and they gave him a shave and cleaned him up in some new clothes. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to get a shave and get cleaned up. Hallelujah. I don't mean that for all you furry-faced people. I'm just saying that, you know, spiritually, we got to get a shave, get cleaned up, and get before the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, listen to this.
Where am I? And the Lord said to Joseph, and he showed mercy on Genesis chapter 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. How many of you are glad that God showed you mercy? Amen. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Is the Lord with us? Has he shown you favor in your life? God gave Joseph a dream. Watch this. A good word. You remember the good word? A good word makes him glad. And Joseph had found in favor. And now the problem was is that he was in jail. He was in a dungeon. It's not like jail like we got today where they sit around with the remote and play pool. No, we're talking about the dungeon. And the answer was, Jesus, do your best with whatever you have. What is in your hand? What has God supplied for you? That's what he wants you to use. Don't worry about what you don't have yet. How many of you don't have it yet? Just say amen. If you don't have it yet, that's okay. You just use what you got for the kingdom of God. You use what you got for the glory of the Lord. And this is what's so cool because towards the end of the story where Joseph was being transformed. Watch this. Let me go ahead and read this because this is important. Romans chapter 12 and 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We've got to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Sometimes we don't think right. Sometimes we're not thinking straight. How many of you don't raise your hand there? Sometimes we need to learn that God is doing a work in us and we need to be transformed and we have to renew our mind. The way we were thinking was wrong and we need to think the right thoughts and we need to be able to prove it. Prove not that you're right, but prove that Jesus is right in that he's changing you. You see, I used to have a foul mouth. Could you imagine that? I used to have a very foul mouth. I worked in a lumber yard, and I was cussing up a storm. And one day I cussed, and Andrew Lagarde, he walked in, and I had just released a bunch of foul words. Could you imagine me saying a bunch of things like that? Couldn't believe those words would come out. Anyway, it did. And I turned around, and this boy was right here behind me. And I went, oh, my gosh, the brother in the church. I've lost my testimony. I can't believe it. Years later, I asked him, I said, did you hear what I said that day? And he said, no, I didn't hear a thing. I was like, all these times I've been worried about you hearing it. But I got convicted. And that day I made a decision. That day I said, Lord, I need some help. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit power. Lord, I can't do this alone. How many of you are going through some situations where you're realizing you can't do it alone? And the Lord told me that day, he says, I'll help you, but it's going to cost you. I was like, cost me? He goes, that's right. I was like, well, Lord, I understand it's going to cost me. You know? He goes, no, I mean physically, financially cost you. Now, I don't know if you remember when Cokes became about a dollar a can. You know, you put the dollar bill in, but that's about when it was. 40 years ago. No, anyway, a long time ago. And I told all the guys in the yard, I said, listen, I'm having this trouble. I'm struggling with this. And I want to make a commitment to you guys. If y'all catch me saying any words, I will buy you a Coke. Cost me about $200. But I started to put my money where my mouth was. I no longer wanted to just say, I need, because this is what we do a lot of times. Lord, I need help. Lord, every Sunday, Lord, I need help getting through this. I'm just weak. Oh, Lord, I just wish that. No, go ahead and put your money where your mouth is and let it cost you financially. And you'll start making a change in your life. You'll start saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. At that time in my life, I was very poor. I drove a car in reverse for a week because the transmission was bad. I'm dead serious. And it was a third-hand car. Ron got the car before me. They gave it to him, then he gave it to me, and I'm driving it for a while, and the transmission went out, and I said, uh-oh, I didn't have enough money. So I said, I still ain't going to walk. So I drove it in reverse. Left Waveland Avenue, drove down all the way down the railroad tracks to Jim McDonald's Hardware over there, Ace Hardware, and I parked it and said, whoo, I made it. Of course, I left 2 hours early. I told everybody I was praying. I was, that I wouldn't wreck. But anyway, God will bring you through. Say through. God will bring you through some stuff. And I'm here to tell you that if you put your money where your mouth is, God will encourage you and build you up and put you in a place where you have a testimony and you're not worried about what the world thinks. Oh, but it took some time. He had to sit in jail for 2 extra years before they told him. I'm here to tell you sometimes it takes some time that we have to. You know, I really think this is true. It may not be, but I think it is. I think sometimes we hold ourselves back because we won't do things right. We won't repent. So the Lord says, okay, one more lap around the mountain for you. And we're going around and around. And I just believe that it happened to me in my life. So I'm sure it's happening to some of you right now. You might be going around that mountain. And you might be going around that mountain. And you might be saying, how long, Lord? And the Lord said, this is a Mike Walkie statement. He said, not meeth youeth. And then you realize that it's not him. It's not the people around you. It's not the church. It's not the deacons, the elders, or the preacher. It's me. I got a situation I got to deal with, Lord. I just need you to help me, Lord. I just need you to give me some wisdom and some guidance. Read the book of Proverbs and get you all kind of wisdom. And then you repent and you start doing things right. And then when you start doing things right, guess what happens? Somebody's going to come into your life and invest into you, which happened in this story. The king, Pharaoh, came. Imagine that, God using the enemy, the Pharaoh. The non-Christian to come in and bless him. Let me help you up out of that prison. Let me tell you about what I'm... And then, of course, you know the story. If you don't go back and read it, he ends up being the second command. He ends up being the second command. And, of course, that's where he comes and he tells his brothers, you meant this for bad, but God meant it for good. And in the process of your life, when you think somebody's meaning something for bad for you, get ready because God's doing something good for you. Examine yourself and find out where you are. Examine your relationship with the Lord and say, where am I, Lord? What's my relationship with you like? I'm here to tell you that today Jesus wants to talk to your heart. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes and just get ready, because God wants to speak to your heart right now. He wants to let you know that he loves you, first of all. And he wants you to let you know that he's not slack as we think slackness is, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that anybody, that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word says it like this, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Wow, I love this statement. This too shall come to pass. If you're going through some problems, going through some situations, make sure you keep your dream alive that God's encouraged you and put on your heart. Don't allow yourself to be led astray and distracted with the things of this world and the cares of this world. If you're in the dungeon, if you're in jail mentally, physically, or naturally, or whatever, realize that God's here this morning and he's pulling you up out of the miry clay. He's setting you right up in his presence. He's setting you right up on his knee. He's crying out to you and letting you know that he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God's looking for some people that'll stand with him. So God's looking for some faithful people that'll know that he's called them and that he's set his sights. And he set your sights on the things above and not on the things below. He's trying his hardest to pull you up and reach out into your life and saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. Will you rejoice and be glad in it? Will you just sit back and look at all of the problems around you? Will you say, woe is me. How long? Oh, God, when are you going to do this? And the Lord says, not meeth youeth. If you will just repent right now in your heart and mind. I'm not here to embarrass anybody or drag this out for 20 minutes until somebody raises their hand. You know where you are. God knows where you are. So I'm just going to tell you, you just speak to the Lord right now and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I ask you right now to pour out your spirit afresh and anew in my life. Lord, let me walk with you, Lord, in newness of life. Let me walk in the cool of the garden with you, O God. And Lord, let me not hide behind the trees thinking that that's going to work. Lord, you're not going to allow us to hide, but you're going to call us out, Lord. You're going to set us up, O God. You're going to bring people in our lives that we don't understand what's going on. They're going to treat us bad. They're going to hurt our feelings. They're going to make us put us in prison spiritually or mentally or in the natural. But Lord, you called us, oh God. You gave us a dream, Father. We ask you right now, Lord, to bless and strengthen the body of Christ as we all come together, oneness of mind and purpose, Lord, to see you high and lifted up, oh God. Jesus, pour out your spirit this morning. Can you just lift both hands right now and say amen? Hallelujah. What a great day. God bless you. Hubda, if you got children in children's church, please go get them. If you got kids in nursery, go get them. Good to see Ron and Phyllis and Lauren and Zach. Oh, there he is. Hallelujah. Y'all give him a hug and let him know you love him.